This is the Cities of Refuge podcast, where we talk about migration, human rights, and the role of cities and local authorities. My name is Elif Dermush, and I'm a PhD researcher at Utrecht University and one of the five members of the Cities of Refuge research team. Welcome to another episode of the Cities of Refuge podcast, dear listeners. Today's episode is with Mr. Sinan Özdan, the National Project Manager of the project RESLOG, which stands for Resilience in Local Governance in the Face of Migration, Turkey. We will discuss the concept of resilience in relation to migration and the experiences of Mr. Özdan in the context of the RESLOG project. To tell you a little bit about our interviewee today, Mr. Sinan Özdan developed the Turkish component of this project that was organized by the Swedish Association of Local Authorities and Regions, SALAR. And this project is currently being implemented with the Union of Municipalities of Turkey, Çukurova Municipalities Union and Marmara Municipalities Union. Mr. Sinan Özdan has a background in urban planning and regional development, and he has experience in working in projects with city networks, INGOs, governmental agencies, and international organizations in the fields of regional development, environmental planning, city diplomacy, and migration. Thank you very much for joining us today, Mr. Sinan Özdan. Welcome to the Cities of Refuge podcast.
Hello, glad to be here.
Thank you very much. If I may immediately start with a first question, could you please tell us about the project RESLOG, about, for example, which local governments are participating, how was the selection process, what stage is the project at?
RESLOG stands for Resilience in Local Governance in the Face of Syrian Migration. So that part is critical, I think, for all the project and also for this broadcast. After the Syrian migration refugee crisis, Turkey has received more than 3.5 million Syrians over a very short period of time. So migration influx was very high. And this migration is reflected in the cities, of course. So we have abandoned the camps very rapidly, which is a good decision, I believe. But the migrants have found themselves in the cities. So this is an urban refugee issue, let's say. And resilience of local governance in the face of Syrian migration means practically supporting the local governments, the municipalities, the city authorities in tackling this unexpected and massive migration issue. This is a project financed by the Swedish government through SIDA. The project is a cooperation of four municipal unions or associations, you may call them. On the Swedish side, there is SALAR, Swedish Association for Local Administrations and Regions. And on the Turkish side, there is UMT, Union of Municipalities of Turkey, Marmara Union of Municipalities, and Çukurova Union of Municipalities. So the last two are the regional municipal associations in Turkey. And I don't know how familiar our listeners are with the geography of Turkey. Marmara region is the northwestern region of Turkey, the industrialized part of Turkey, which encompasses also Istanbul, Bursa, Kocaeli, so huge industrial and major urban metropolitan centers. And the Çukurova region is on the southeastern part of Turkey, with an opening to the Mediterranean, and is the neighboring region to Syria. So the relation, let's say, of those regional unions to each other in the Syrian migration context is, while the Çukurova region is the entry point, is the region which contains cities neighboring to Syria, the Marmara region is the further migration region where people find a job, settle, blend into the industrial processes. At the very beginning of our project, we made an assumption, which has proved itself along the course of the project, that the Syrian migrants, the moment they become urban refugees, they follow the Turkish internal rural migration traits. So one should not expect a refugee to cross the border, save the life, so escape from the war, but settle at the immediate arrival point, at the immediate city in the southeast. And our cities could not bear that burden either. I mean, 3.5 million people living in a border region, that is practically not possible. Well, what happened is, and this is continuing, an internal migration process is going on at the moment. And that's the result, actually. That's why Istanbul, Bursa, Kocaeli, in the central Anatolia, Konya, Kayseri, rather industrial cities, are sort of welcoming or receiving, are still receiving migrants, also Syrian migrants. And the distribution of the Syrians is sort of diffusing on that route. So working with a regional union in the southeast and another regional union in the northwest, we thought would be representative for the migration routes, migration processes. And as such, we have chosen to work with Marmara, Çukurova, and for the national coverage and being able to work at all in Turkey, the Union of Municipalities of Turkey. As a result, this has become a cooperation of 4 municipal associations.
May I ask what the role of Lebanon is in this project?
The RESLOG, we may call it a program. RESLOG is originally developed by the Swedish side as a part of Sweden's Syria strategy, Syria refugee crisis response strategy. And a couple of years before the project started, there was a feasibility study made in, I believe, 2016, which evaluated countries that are receiving the most number of Syrian refugees. As a result, they have said they can provide support to Turkey and Lebanon. Lebanon being heavily affected of the Syrian crisis with its limited resources, and Turkey being the most migrant receiving or refugee receiving country. So the two countries have been identified as target countries for the resilience of local governance. Well, practically, the RESLOG Turkey project takes its own route, and RESLOG Lebanon project is also working within its own local context. The two local or national contexts are heavily different from each other.
And you are the director of RESLOG Turkey, and RESLOG Lebanon is a separate project.
Yes, you may say so. I mean, at the very top, we of course come together and share our experiences and knowledge we accumulated. And also the concepts we are developing are shared and exchanged with each other. But in practice, yes, RESLOG Lebanon and RESLOG Turkey could be seen as two parallel projects, part of the same program. Please don't forget Lebanon has endured further problems, further shocks and crises like the economic crisis, the government crisis, the explosion at the Beirut harbor, and of course the pandemic. These are problems, shocks that make the situation even worse. But all in all, the connecting point seems to be furthering active citizenship, local engagement, and inclusive action at any given location, which is true for Lebanon and for Turkey.
So we, in our research at Cities of Refuge, often encounter concepts such as human rights cities, solidarity cities, welcoming cities. May I ask what the relevance of the term resilience is in the context of RESLOG? Why resilience?
Well, this has been a huge discussion for us by establishing the project and making the conceptual background of the project. We understand resilience as the ability of a system to withstand changes in its environment causing significant stress, but the system should be able to function, still function. And in our context, when we are talking of cities, peaceful, democratic quality of life should be kept and even furthered, despite there are shocks and stresses. And this is how we defined actually resilience of local governance, to be able to function as a city without much strain, maybe. And the main question is, how does a local governance maintain its service delivery, maintain the quality of life that it used to offer to its citizens with the new unexpected population, and provide to all also to the newcomers and continue thriving. So if you want, you may see the process as in three phases. Respond to the shock, normalize the situation, and continue thriving. So therefore, resilience is important. In fact, the resilience concept comes into the urban area with climate change. The first uses in our field, I'm an urban planner. In our field, we have seen the concept of resilience first with resilience to climate change. And this is quite understandable. There is an effect, a stress or a shock, which you should take as a fact, respond to it, make your efforts to incorporate that shock, let's say, and then continue to develop, to thrive. So adapting the same concept to migration was quite normal for us. So resilience for migration is the question in our case. Then we started to talk about the municipal services being durable, prepared, prudent in the face of current and future effects of migration. So this incorporates everything, actually, from social inclusion to cohabitation to integration, whatever you want. And the, let's say, most comprehensive approach to tackle with migration would be resilience.
I understand. It sounds to me, from what you're saying, like even within the term resilience and even when strengthening, improving the level of resilience of local governments, there is an element of accessibility for all, and which could be seen as a value that is in line with the idea of cities being responsible for human rights and for providing services for everybody, regardless of their background, nationality, their status, etc. Am I understanding correctly that it has this element?
Perfectly correctly, yes. Of course, human rights is a such grand concept, and it is practically unthinkable that we go against it. I mean, of course, you can place resilience of local governance under the human rights perspective, definitely. I mean, the inclusivity is there. Again, from the municipal services point of view, we are looking into the quality of life in the city. And it is unthinkable that this can be achieved while one part of the society, one part of the residents of the city is enjoying a good life, accessing to any services, while the other part of the society, regardless how it's emerged, is neglected, is taken apart, is forgotten, or is simply excluded. This is not possible. So therefore, in our resilience concept, what is important is the cohabitation of the host society and the migrant society, and that the municipality provides services for all, and of course adjusts its services for the benefits or well-being of the more vulnerable. So from that perspective, it definitely serves to the realization of human rights in the cities.
Yes, I understand. May I ask specifically what type of stages the ResLog Turkey project has, what stage you are at, and what kind of activities and learning objectives are what kind of activities are conducted and learning objectives are aimed at with the local governments? What exactly is ResLog doing in practice?
Oh, this is a question which requires quite a lengthy answer, actually, because the ResLog Turkey project is composed of three components. We are working at the national level in policy development, at the regional level in cooperation and exchange of municipalities, and at the same time strengthening the municipal self-organization, and at the local level directly with the municipalities, with our pilot municipalities. By the way, we have 12 pilots, 6 in each region, Marmara and Çukurova regions, and there we are developing tools, methods, mechanisms for a better municipal service delivery within the migration context. These three levels are running in parallel to each other, so it's not sort of consecutive. But while telling this story, I have to start somewhere. So let's start it from the national level, if you wish to. At the national level, we are very strongly working with the Union of Municipalities of Turkey. And there what we are doing is to generate or to improve, let's say, the dialogue between the local governance level and the central government level for the migration policies. We have established a committee of mayors or a platform of mayors. And the mayors have developed, actually, throughout the last 2 years, a policy paper, a policy brief. As an input, a policy brief as an input to the central government for developing their migration policies and to make the local governance and the needs of the municipalities more visible. It is basically laying forward what municipalities are doing, with what they are dealing with, how they are responding to the municipalities, and in the process, what are their needs and demands from the central government. Basically, it has four policy blocks, you may say. The first block is, of course, anyone can guess, improvement of the financial situation of the municipalities or support for the extra financial burden that the municipalities have to face. In Turkey, the municipalities are getting an important portion of their revenues from the central government, actually from the taxes that are redistributed through the central government on the basis of number of citizens living in their cities. But there is this nationality concept, the Turkish nationals. But with this extra population, which is not Turkish nationals, the municipalities now have to provide all the municipal services to a higher number of population by receiving, money for just part of the population. And this is problematic.
I'm sorry to interrupt. May I ask if this includes a legal change that is demanded by these mayors? Are they asking for more capacity, more legal capacity, or at least an official change of domestic legislation for there to be a continuing new income on the basis of refugees, or is it just a temporary policy request that they're making?
It will require a legal change at the end, that's for sure. The municipalities are demanding such a legal change, yes, but there are different options. One of them is an immediate change, getting a temporary support from the central government. But policy options also incorporates a more durable solution to it, acknowledging that Turkey is becoming migration receiving country, a target country. You may remember Turkey has been classified for many years, for many decades, as a transition country. But with these latest migration movements or population movements, Turkey has changed its position to migration receiving country. So quiet adaptation is to be done in parallel to this change of the, not status, but change of the situation, actually. And as we see that the migrants are urban migrants, if not necessarily refugees, then the municipal revenue system needs to be adapted as well. And this is reflected in the policy paper. Of course, this is just a policy proposal from mayors, from the local governance level. How the central government will respond to that, or how the advocacy and lobbying processes generate results, I cannot foresee from now, but this is the demand of the municipalities. And we are talking of the Syrian refugee crisis, but one should keep in mind, we are talking of 3.5 million Syrian refugees due to the war and the crisis in Syria. But at the moment, Turkey is hosting more than 5.5 million refugees. So another 2 million from different parts of the world, which are residing currently in Turkey. So the situation is not limited only to the Syrians. In parallel to this financial policy recommendation, there is also recommendations from the municipalities to increase the responsibilities and mandate of the municipalities in responding to receiving more migration, actually. A third point is improving the municipalities in social cohesion issues. And the fourth point is improving the coordination among different government offices, government organizations, including the municipalities. So a better governance model is also proposed by the municipalities, by the mayors themselves. This is what we do at the national level, basically. At the regional level, the exchange of municipalities, joint learning, improving the knowledge base has been a focus for us. This is reflected in our books in the field of migration, all different subject themes. Many of them are also published in English and can be found on the project website, free to download. For this knowledge generation up until now, we have written 12 books. 5 more are to come in 21. And I must admit, many of those books are reference books, not only for the municipalities, so they are not simple handbooks, also for academicians and researchers. And many of the books are tackling this local governance and migration issue with a specific subject like gender, climate change, or many others, let's say. These are also reference books for researchers as well. And we are receiving very good feedback from academicians from Turkey and also from different parts of the world. But these products are at the same time products of the municipalities as well, because we have said the source of knowledge is not only the academia, but the municipalities are themselves generating knowledge on a daily basis while trying to find solutions to previously not seen problems, at least not to them. And these solutions need to be written down, shared with other municipalities, and exchanged. So it includes a sort of academic content, but at the same time a peer learning content and exchange of knowledge of municipalities, so that it settles down and becomes a reliable source of information and knowledge. So therefore, the books are an important part of our work.
That sounds like they even take an intersectional perspective on vulnerabilities due to migration and climate change, migration and gender. I have a follow-up question on these books, or in general, the peer learning processes. What are the practicalities behind them? Are they happening through workshops or ongoing meetings by the local governments? Is it more at the technical level within the local administrations that experts of, for example, social cohesion meet with each other? How have you operationalized such knowledge exchange?
Actually, all of them. If I may take the fourth option. On certain subjects, we have worked with experts who reflected their research in these books. On other occasions, especially the municipal exchange, municipal experiences, the municipal staff from various municipalities, and not only our pilots, relevant municipalities who are working in the field of migration or who are receiving migrants, have written down their experiences through joint workshops. And I must admit, this COVID pandemic has been a huge constraint for us. Originally, we thought we would let the experts meet around the table and do all the writing in a set of workshops together, but this had to happen through digital meetings, unfortunately. And yes, they've been writing their experiences, and this process continues with new books as well. In any case, the books are presented through seminars, through learning workshops, you may say, where the authors of the books, be it the municipal experts or other writers, researchers, meet with the municipalities and anyone who is interested, actually, in those sessions and discuss the content of the book. So this is the, you may call it, the launching event of the books. And the discussions themselves during those events have also been contributing to improve the knowledge base of the municipalities. We are organizing these events together with the Marmara Union of Municipalities. So they are the ones who are hosting all this knowledge generation program within ResLog. Yeah, this is how we work, actually.
And at the local level, you were talking about the three tiers, the national level, the regional level, and the local level. What does ResLog do at the local level?
Yeah, at the local level, we've made a crucial decision and said that the ResLog experts will not do anything for the municipalities. So all our input is in form of coaching. We have developed new methods and tools to be delivered to the municipalities through a set of know-how transfer actions, and let the municipalities develop their own solutions using those methodologies themselves. I think the most critical input we have supplied for the municipalities is the resilience assessment methodology and the subsequent migration master plans, migration master planning methodology. Basically, this incorporates a methodology where the municipalities themselves assess how resilient they were in the last, let's say, 10 years from the start of this rapid influx of migration. How did they respond? In what municipal service areas they could deliver good services? What service areas have been more challenged? What did they do to overcome these challenges? So then you have a map of, let's say, current resilience of the municipality in the face of migration. Then the next thing is a migration master planning, or you may call it, I mean, we have called it migration master plan, but I believe these are more action plans. So the next question is the next answer is the migration master planning. What do we do there? Is, again, following a certain methodological steps, they are preparing their plans to overcome the strains and challenges they have faced, and they give answers to how to improve the quality of life in the city, how to continue with local development, how to manage cohabitation of migrant communities and host communities or already settled communities towards a social cohesion in the city. Both of these tools, this resilience assessment methodology and migration master planning methodology, you can find in detail as full-sized books. You may call them handbooks this time for municipalities, also in our website published. Yeah, in this process, again, we have delivered the methodology and provided coaching to the municipal teams to develop their own solutions using those methodologies. This is a benefit because you are also referring to border cities and, you know, other metropolitan centers. So the context, the local context is different from each other. Therefore, the solutions cannot be a single type of solutions. And each municipality has to respond according to its own context, capacities, possibilities, and level of receiving the migrants, let's say. What is important is to carry those migration master plans into the municipal the decision-making and implementation schemes. So pass them through the municipal councils and make them part of the municipality's regular functioning, part of the municipality's regular functions, let's say. This we have achieved through integrating the migration master plans into the strategic plans of the municipalities in all those 12 pilots. And now in 2021, we are now at the implementation stage of those proposals, goals, actions written down in the migration plans. I should add one more thing on this migration master plan methodology. This is important for a project because, you know, in the project world, we are working with pilots and usually achieving good results with only the pilots. And then the pilot municipality's piloting role is sort of forgotten when the project is finished. This has not happened in our project. This is important. Other municipalities who were not involved in the RESLOC process have seen the migration master planning, have learned from the other municipalities and demanded themselves to develop their own migration master plans. The most prominent example is Mersin Metropolitan Municipality, and it is a metropolitan municipality, therefore its effect is even more important or more significant, let's say. And in this know-how transfer structure we have developed and in this coaching methodology, our pilot municipalities the neighboring Adana or the neighboring Hatay, for example, have said, we are now confident with our knowledge and we have learned this methodology, and we ourselves can assist Mersin in developing Mersin's migration master planning. So this is exactly the thing what we are aiming within ResLog. So this peer learning processes that they develop from within, let's say. So it is not that we have also included Mersin and assisted them in developing their migration master planning, but no, we have generated a knowledge, we have established a knowledge base, and this is now spreading on its own, and I think that's a major indicator for success.
That sounds absolutely amazing. It sounds like there is a lot of ownership for this knowledge by the local governments, especially the pilot local governments themselves.
True.
This leads to my next question, actually, which was the topic of gains. I was wondering what you consider to be the most significant gains of local governments that have been participating in the ResLog project so far. Would it be this ownership of the knowledge, or would it be initiative or confidence or something else? What would you say?
As ResLog is complex, the answer to that question is also complex. Definitely the knowledge base, improving the knowledge base, the know-how is important. One more thing, maybe most important thing, is the attitude of the municipalities towards migration. When we started this project, no single municipality was willing to go public and say that they are doing anything for the migrants. You may see the reasons for that in xenophobia, or you may see the reasons in that for existence of vulnerable segments of society, poverty segments of society within the Turkish community, or whatever. But in any case, the municipalities were working rather under the radar without making it public that they are providing support for the vulnerable groups among the migrants, refugees, or that they are developing solutions for cohabitation, even if whatever they are, what they were doing. With the ResLog, ResLog's planned approach and systematic approach, they started to find themselves more confident in publicly referring to their services for the cohabitation. Reasons for that: from the very beginning of this project, we have said that migration is a fact, is a condition, and discussing whether you or your population wants to receive this migration or not is not helping, doesn't say anything. But it's a fact, and you need to deal with your services. You need to improve your services, adapt your services for a new future, and be prepared, be resilient, and be progressive, actually, with all of your citizens, all of your city inhabitants. And it is not possible to develop with leaving a part of the society or a part of your citizens behind and continue. This is not possible. I believe all of the municipalities have seen this very fact and are proudly telling the services they are now providing. And these services are not providing help, humanitarian aid. This is not what we are discussing about. It is to improve the chances of cohabitation, to enable a better settlement process, to aim for a new society, urban society, let's say. So a new urban society blended with migrants and with the previous population, let's say,
Yeah, what you're explaining is very interesting, because according to our observations, the xenophobia levels in Turkey have been increasing over the last, for example, 5 years. There's visibly more opposition to the simple presence of refugees. There are more demands to send them back home. So I think it is significant that a project such as yours, which has started only 3 years ago, so already in a time of high xenophobia compared to, for example, 7 or 8 years ago, has already achieved a difference in how local governments see their role and their activities that engage with refugees. That is very significant. Congratulations to you for that.
Thank you. This point is very important, and also it is important for me to underline the change of approach. I mean, if we remained in this humanitarian aid context and understood this migration response or resilience as providing aid to the vulnerable groups, to the vulnerable migrants, then this wouldn't be possible. This wouldn't have been possible. The main difference lies in focusing on improving the quality of life for all urban inhabitants. The moment you start talking about the common benefits, the municipality sees this and also changes it is, yeah, not only the approach, but also the associated rhetoric to it. And this helps very much. So living peacefully together with increased local democracy to improve quality of life. When you start discussing these issues instead of supporting someone, in our case, the migrants, then you simply don't go, or how do you say it, avoid this who benefits from the municipal services discussion. And as a result, you avoid this xenophobic context. Of course, this is something we are also observing. I mean, among the population, among the people, that xenophobia is increasing and that the discussion send them back, or while I am suffering, especially now under COVID conditions, why support the newcomer while I am in great need? Then the answer is, yeah, in such a context, changing the answer, changing the discussion context was important. And I believe this is what we have achieved. But if you ask if xenophobia has increased, yes, it has definitely increased. But with this different answer, the municipalities are now able to talk about their services they are providing, because it is not migrant-only service, but it is for the benefit of the whole society and for the overall development of the city.
At this point, I'm curious about your usage of the term cohabitation. This is a term that is not commonly used in, especially in Europe, within the municipal context. But then, of course, there's a difference. In Turkey, the long-term future of Syrian refugees is still unknown. So whether, even when we support a move away from a charity-based and a hospitality-based understanding of offering services to refugees, there is still no clarity about whether they will be permanent residents of the country or not. Is that the reason why you are choosing the word cohabitation as opposed to integration or cohesion? Or is there another reason that I may not have foreseen?
This is a very good question. At the start of our work, we have tried to time map a migration process. And the migration has for us three stages. The first stage is the arrival stage. The second stage is the cohabitation stage, or the settlement stage, let's say. In the settlement stage, the migrant has started to live in that city, has a shelter, a home, has a job or goes to the school, and does shopping, does leisure, whatever urban activities. So in urban planning, we have this famous triangle in urban movements. This is also very much used in the transportation planning as well. Travels, home to work or home to school or whatever. Urban activities and work or school. This triangle is established. That is the settlement phase for a migration. And in this phase, from an urban services point of view or urban planning point of view, whether a cohesion, integration is secured or not is not asked yet. Integration is the third phase. And we know from world examples, also from the Turks living in Germany, for example, that integration, becoming a solid, settled, permanent part of a city, takes generations. So this is a future step, let's say. And trying to work for integration, for cohesion at this stage is too early, let's say, or is a long-term goal. We should start already now, and continue for many years, for many decades. So the equivalent of the settlement phase in a migrant's life is achieving cohabitation on the urban space. So respecting each other is important. Accepting the case that different social groupings are living within the city and are neighbors to each other, and they share the urban space and contribute to the life in the city, each from its own perspective. So therefore, the municipal services should also be directed towards cohabitation of different social groups, let's say. So therefore, we are talking about cohabitation and not integration at this stage.
I understand. I have a few questions that relate back to the discussion about the project at hand particularly. You mentioned that, of course, the needs of municipalities are different depending on what their circumstances are, whether they are a border town or a town of final migration, a large metropolitan area that offers jobs for refugees who want to further move and migrate. I was wondering, when it comes to such differences or other differences such as political differences, were there any factors that made cooperation difficult? Talked about the successes, you talked about the Mersin example of how well it worked, and you talked about the ownership, and I recognize that therefore, since there is no one-size-fits-all approach, every municipality needs to create their own unique policy anyway. However, I'm just curious whether during this process, until you reached this point, this success, were there any factors that made it particularly difficult for local governments to cooperate with each other, and what were those factors?
Yeah, this is an interesting question that makes me think, actually, about the challenges in the project. I can identify rather technical challenges, based on the different settings of the municipalities, but nothing further than that. Of course, the smaller municipalities with less resources, also less human resources, were more burdened, let's say, not only with migration, but also with being part of the project and trying to catch up with it. And this is not only in the southeast part, not only in the Çukurova part, also in the Marmara region as well. Reserving resources for such a project, so being part of a project on one side, and also catching up with or coping with this mind shift, let's say, which I explained earlier, this has been the main challenge, I would say. From political point of view, no, we haven't seen it within the municipalities.
And how about at the regional level, cooperation between different local governments? Were there any challenges with that when it comes to, for example, urban versus rural local governments or local governments led by different political parties, different ideologies? If there isn't, and if it just ran smoothly, that's wonderful. But I was curious whether there was such difficulty.
But I understand your question. This is something that should be expected, actually. But we haven't experienced.
Wonderful.
We haven't experienced. I mean, in this polarized political setting in Turkey, one definitely expects sort of political divide or resistance in cooperation of municipalities with each other. But honestly, no. I mean, this hasn't happened. Probably this hasn't happened in the mayor's platform either. I mean, we have mayors represented in the mayor's platform from the ruling party, AKP, from its smaller partner, MHP, or from the main opposition in the national scale, CHP. But no, the mayors have collaborated perfectly with each other. So again, asking questions on the needs of local governance, being focused on cities, needs of municipalities, connects both the decision makers, the mayors, the politicians, and also the technical staff, I believe. And while giving you these answers, let me also say that we have passed through two election periods within our project, if not three. I'm not so sure. But anyhow, in these election periods, and one of them was the local governance elections, so the mayoral elections, there we have endured delays in our project, that's for sure. So in the propaganda period before the elections, the cooperation levels immediately decreased. But this is limited to the election atmosphere. Immediately after the elections, with the new or older mayors, we were able to continue with our work, where we decelerated with our projects, let's say, and then we can continue immediately after the elections. But yes, during the election periods, it is very difficult to strive for a cooperation between municipalities. But this is the nature of things. So they are all propagating for, you know, for being elected. But in this cooperation of municipalities issue, in Reslok, we have underlined the importance of the self-organization of the municipalities. So the municipal associations very much. The municipal associations are composed of different municipalities. They are members. They are coming from different parties. The mayors are coming from different parties. But they joined forces in an association. They are, as members of the association, anyhow, willing to work with each other to solve their solutions through their cooperation in the associations. So therefore, improving the municipal associations, especially the regional associations in a country like Turkey, is very important. The UMT, Union of Municipalities of Turkey, is a major player in the national policymaking area, representing the municipalities, all of the municipalities of Turkey. And this is important. And there they come up with solutions, lobbying those solutions at the central government level and so on. This is okay. And this is very good and important. But at the regional level, where you have more commonalities with each other, consider the municipalities, the cities in the Çukurova region, or consider the cities in the Marmara region. There they come up with similar solutions to similar problems, and that these are accumulated in the association, processed there for the benefit of all the members, and redistributed again to the municipalities. And all these things are done through an associative understanding. So it is not a different body, the municipal association, but the municipalities themselves. So this enabling environment of a municipal association, or we call them municipal unions in Turkey, local governance unions, these strengthening this union behavior, this associative behavior, was important, and we have worked with the unions from the very beginning onwards. As said, Reslog is a cooperation of those municipal associations, and I think this is critical answer to municipal exchange and cooperation efforts.
Yes, there are, I mean, I have been personally humbly theorizing that, especially through the last local elections, the increased focus from the general public on the importance of local government and how it is possible to have an alternative type of governance that is more participatory, more democratic, more transparent, was increasing the notion of or the ownership over democratic governance. And it sounds to me that one could be so bold as to say that the cooperation between local governments in these regional, especially unions, is even contributing to an understanding of democratic governance at a kind of public level. Public meaning among public administrations that have different political standings. That's very good to hear.
It's true. I mean, that's the level where you definitely reach the plurality, actually. Where in Turkey, the central government becoming more and more centralized in itself, and the decision-making processes are becoming more and more centralized. The local governance level is the level where you move within a pluralistic political atmosphere, and this is possible through those unions, let's say.
May I briefly ask a small follow-up, if that's possible, about the elections? Have you observed any disruptions in the continuation of the project and local governance that have changed, quote unquote, ownership from one political party to another or from one mayor to another? Or have you observed an increased competition after the local elections, a sense of now we have to really show what we can do?
Not for Reslok, I can say definitely. I mean, their participation in the project, their commitment to the project didn't change, even increased, I must say. I mean, we started before the elections in an election atmosphere, and after the election, when all the dust was settled, let's say, we had a better environment for working together. But concerning the relations of the municipalities among themselves or the power game within the municipal unions, yes, there was a competition, of course. This seems to be a further provincial core of power. And yes, there was this competition, I can say. And this is always there, actually. But one thing is very good. Due to this membership structure, the decision-making mechanisms of the municipal unions, of those associations. When I say unions, many people think of the workers' unions. No, we are talking about the municipal associations. The membership structure and sending delegates to the executive board of the association or union represents the distribution of different political parties within the region, within the area, let's say. So the executive board is almost always composed of representatives, that is, mayors from different parties, of course, with different weights. I mean, the number of representation changes, but they are represented to the executive board, and this gives the municipal association or the municipal union a sort of balanced decision-making forum, I think. And this structure is to the benefit, actually, to the benefit of local democracy, I must say. There is this exceptional case, and Turkey has experienced this in last decades, where the majority of the municipalities were from one single party. And this is also, this is then naturally reflected in the executive boards of the municipal associations. But this is an exceptional case, I must say. And now, after the last elections, we have a plurality in the executive boards of the unions, of the municipal unions. So the balance is given through the elections itself, actually.
Yes, I understand. So to move from the topic of elections, I would like to zoom in on the question of sustainability. Do you believe that the learnings, the gains, the ownership that local governments have acquired over the notion of resilience or their action plans on migration and resilience, whether these are sustainable or not, do you have faith that if the people, the actual personnel would change, that these practices would remain? And why?
You are talking about the current phase of our project. All this migration master planning, resilience assessment methodology and so on were part of our work in the first and a half years of Reslok project. Now we are supporting, again, coaching the municipalities in implementing whatever was planned, whatever was put into the plans. Because many people in the projects must have experienced that. You generate lovely plans, you approve them, and then they remain in the bookshelves as, you know, nice publications, let's say. In order to overcome this, we needed to support the implementation processes as well. The know-how transfer or generation of know-how for it to be settled sustainable within the municipality and become ordinary part of their working, it also needs to be implemented. So the municipalities have prioritized their actions coming from the migration master plans and have developed operational programs for the first year, for the second year, and so on. But as you know, RESLOC is a project, and as all projects are, it is finite. At the end of 21, it will stop operating. Actually, this was the case for 2020. So December of last year, we were supposed to finish all of our operations, but two main reasons. One, of course, COVID pandemic slowed down our activities. We have to shift to a contingency planning. And secondly, our success has been acknowledged and we were asked to continue for one more year. And this one more year is totally concentrated on the implementation of the targets, actions scripted down in the migration master plans. Through this process of implementing, we are aiming that the municipalities are able to continue to implement their plannings, at least until the next elections, and make them a settled part of the municipal service provision program. There, we are focusing very much on active citizenship this year. And citizenship means all urban inhabitants, not only the Turkish nationals. So all citizens of the city should take part in whatever actions, decision-making processes, and the implementation, and work together with the municipalities, or municipalities should work with their people, residents. In Seyhan in Adana, for example, we are focusing on very much on a model of community centers, especially community centers where the Syrian population are accumulated, let's say. Or in Osman Gazi in Bursa, another type of community center where the center's program is much more focused on children's activities like fairy tale ateliers and so on. Or in Şişli, there is a migrant center at the municipality which provides information and services through that. So these infrastructures are being established now at the municipalities. But while doing these, in many of those examples, we are also stressing the value added, the benefit the migrant brings with itself. In this kitchen example, for example, this kitchen course, they are learning how to cook sweets, cakes, and I don't know, sorts of sweets. They're in the course. If the program were only, you know, incorporating fancy cakes, you know, and so on, that would be very much one-sided. But as you know, Syria is very well known with its sweets, all derivatives of baklava and so on. So learning from that kitchen and giving it back to all the coursiers in this course makes the value added in this action, for example, even more. It increases the value added of this action and it reveals that the knowledge and value migration can bring to a city is again showcased through such actions as well. So this brings us back to the notion of cohabitation and integration and developing a new blended society. If you tell also Syrian tales, for example, or what other migrants are there, their culture is also incorporated there, then you have better options for sustainable results, let's say.
Indeed, fascinating and gives us a lot of hope in somewhat bleak circumstances sometimes. I would like to ask you two more questions before we conclude. This has been a long session for both our listeners and for us so far. I would like to ask you, going back to the macro scale one last time, how do you think RESLOC Turkey has benefited from being engaged with, being a part of a larger program, a larger system that includes Sweden and Lebanon? How do you think you, as the project coordinator in Turkey, or the local governments in Turkey have potentially benefited from the knowledge generated in Sweden and Lebanon?
The main connecting point is in active citizenship. Even though the local contexts are different from each other, the focus on active citizenship is connecting Lebanon and Turkey legs of the same RESLOC project. And likewise, Sweden is the, let's say, accumulated know-how in the Sweden example is also contributing to that. In cooperating with the with SALAR, with the Swedish Association of Local Administrations and Regions, we are looking into Swedish local solutions, especially in developing the programs of the community centers, how citizen-initiated programs help cohabitation. Because the numbers, if you look into the absolute numbers, the number of migrants Sweden is receiving and number of migrants Turkey is receiving or Lebanon is receiving are not comparable. But if you look into the ratios, then the effect on the cities are more visible and are more comparable, and there is a mutual learning among all three, Sweden, Turkey, and Lebanon. Well, the approach of an open society and generating actions together with the population, with the inhabitants, is benefiting very much from the Swedish example. The structured and planned approach we are pursuing in Turkey, the planning approach, developing new methodologies and tools, like I said before, the resilience assessment or the migration master planning or the operational programs, can be understood as benefits from Turkey to Sweden and Lebanon. And the active citizenship implementations on site, incorporating the local volunteers and the Syrian volunteers together for contributing to the benefit of the society, can be given as contribution from Lebanon. So it is difficult to say that Sweden as a developed country is providing an example for Turkey and Lebanon, or Turkey is doing its own thing or Lebanon whatsoever. But this joint learning from each other, you know, is the critical advantage, I believe. So each country's involvement and contribution supports the other with its strong points. And in no case it is possible to copy from one country and, you know, put it into your local context. But, you know, methodologically or approaches or, you know, understanding or conceptual learning from each other benefits the entire RESLOC program.
Yes, I think you should definitely also be credited for developing an approach that can be customized to such a high extent. Basically, basic principles and a framework that can be filled by each municipality according to their own needs. That allows for a more autonomous learning process. I think you should also be congratulated for that.
Thank you very much. And this autonomous learning, I should note this. This is very good. Yes, autonomous learning process. Yeah.
Thank you. My pleasure to contribute. Thank you so much, Sinan Özden, project manager of RESLOG Turkey. It was such a pleasure. You have given me many hours of your time in today's podcast recording. Thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed it at least half as much as I did.
I thank you very much for this opportunity to talk about the project and your questions that really made me rethink the project and, you know, go over the whole process again. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. And we will definitely be in touch further.
Thank you very much.